Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are doing a good work all over this world, and we thank you for what you are doing in this area of this great country. Father, we pray that you will answer prayer, as stated by Justin. Lord, the needs there, would you bring your people, would you move hearts, and bring these teams that are so needed so that the gospel message will go forth, that your love would be heard and received, and eternity will be different because of it. Thank you so much. Father, as we look into your word now, would you minister to us, speak to our hearts concerning your thoughts and one of the greatest principles. We pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Justin and Natalie. We'll keep you in prayer. And our church will do that, and the individuals in our church will do that as well. Last week we ended, as we continue in our series on 1 Corinthians, with a little teaser, the end of chapter 12. A couple sentences there that were really important. And the translation, interpretation of that passage is, you guys are still pursuing things that are not the most important things. And then it goes on and he says, now I'm going to tell you about the best thing. I entitled the message, What is the Meaning in Life? You say, really? In chapter 13, well, I think so. I think if we can really understand this chapter that many Christians, of course, and even non-Christians understand it, because whenever they want to use it for Valentine's Day or a wedding or something, they want to use 1 Corinthians 13, the passage on love. But do we really understand what God is saying to us here? And so for the next 2 weeks, we will be looking deeply into it. And hopefully, if I have one goal in my life here for this message this morning, is that we can understand God's concept of agape love. So, the meaning of life. Well, I tell you what, if we can understand love and apply it to our lives, well, our lives would have great and awesome meaning. Let me first of all begin by defining God's love, agape love. Interesting that the Greek word for love, there are a few of them, different than the English word. When we say love, we love. You know, I love ice cream. We say the same thing. I love my wife, and I love being here, that kind of thing. We use that word a lot, and it's the same word. It doesn't mean the same, but it's the same word. But in the Greek, there are different kind of meanings, and it's important for us to understand, as Christians, this is so important. Because once you get the understanding of what God's love is about, then everything else is different. You're not meaning the same thing. There are three we consider main love words in the Greek. Some even say four. The first one is eros. That's the love between a husband and wife, lovers, people in love with each other. You know, erotic love comes from that. And so it's a love that we understand what it is. It's a sensual love. The second word we understand a little bit more, this day, perhaps, is the word phileo. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles are playing. And believe it or not, as a Giants fan, I'm going to root for them today, which is unbelievable. You know, we can't stand them. But I have to root for them because they have a few Christians there that are really solid, you know, the quarterback and so forth. So I just kind of have to root for the Christians, you know. But anyway, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, phileo. That is it. It is a love between friends. Basically, that's what it is. A third word that some people consider as new is the word storge. You say, well, what is that? That is a love between family members, and actually it's more in tune with phileo. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it uses the word phileo storge, kind of mixed it together. So it is like between a father and a son, a brother and sister, that kind of thing, that kind of love, a kindred love, family love. And then the fourth one, or maybe the third one, if you don't want to consider storge, is the word agape. Agape love is so different than the others. You know, we get the sense that love is love is love. It's an emotional. No, agape has nothing to do with emotion at all. It is not an emotive love at all. It is not a sensual love. It is not anything like that. It is a love that comes from God. In fact, it is a love that doesn't relate even to who it is. You know, phileo love, I love my friends. Erotic love, I love my wife. Or stoge love, I love my family. Agape love doesn't have people in mind like that at all. Because John 3:16, for God so agape the world, for God so loved the world, see, it's not specific. It doesn't have to be any particular kind of people. And it goes on and on. And everywhere you see the word love used in this way, it's almost not the word love. Because that word literally means, this is what it means. It is a selfless, sacrificial action. That's what that love is. Agape is not this emotional, oh, I just love this. No, you don't agape a person. You don't agape your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. No, no, this is not that kind of love. This is a selfless, sacrificial love proven by the Almighty God himself. For God so selflessly, sacrificially loved the world that he gave. What did he give? He gave the most important thing that would be his life, his son, his only son. And then Jesus goes on, he talks about it in a lot of places about what love is. You know, the greatest thing that you can do for someone is to, what? Lay down your life for your friend or your enemy or anybody. This is what agape love is. Agape love is a love that is defined as selfless, sacrificial, all-giving action towards somebody. This is agape love. And you say, well, who can do that? We know God can. We know people can. You know who? Only people that know Jesus Christ. You can't have this love if you don't know the Lord. It's not possible. There's no possible way that this world can exercise this love. We don't have the capacity for that. In a sin-filled world, we cannot do that. You know, this love only comes from the Spirit of God. It goes in Galatians chapter 5. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, agape. It's not eros, it's not phileo, it's agape. It begins with love, and it comes from the Spirit of God. So you have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to have this capacity to love in a selfless way, sacrificially, in giving to others. Now you say, well, who can do that? Well, you can do that if you have the Spirit of God in you. Now, let me tell you. If love is the most important thing in life, if agape love, if agape self-sacrificing, you know, this selfless, totally giving of yourself is the most important thing in life, would you not think that that's something we should do? Next week, when we finish off the chapter, we will talk about that. We'll talk about pursuit of this love. It is the most important thing at all. We have to pursue that. So it is what we need to have and what we want to have. It is something that God said is the most precious thing in all of life. And beginning here, this is what's happening here. He's speaking to a church, a group of people, a large group of people in this great church in the city of Corinth. And there, they've been struggling. We've been going through this the last 12 chapters. They've been struggling with a lot of things. This unity, I'm better than you. I follow this person. I got this giftedness. I got that. And then Paul says to them all, guys, you are focusing on the wrong thing. Because all those things you're focusing on, it's not the most important thing. It is not love. It is not that agape love in which God has demonstrated to us and has given to us. So he goes on in these first three verses, he talks about some. First of all, he says, if I do not have love, I'm not doing anything. He says, I've become a noisy gong. Now remember, they were focusing on the supernatural gifts that were the most sensational. They talked about that. He was talking about the gift of prophecy, the gift of this and that, especially the gift of tongues. And so he begins by saying, if I spoke in the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have agape, I don't care about people, I don't care about ministering and touching lives, I am nothing, he said. I am doing nothing. I'm just a noisy gong. You know, have you ever heard a noisy gong? You know, it's just clanging around. It doesn't even matter that it could be in rhythm. I don't know. Once upon a time, when in our old church, I remember we had a big sanctuary. And this is something that children love to do. And we don't allow that here. But when they see a set of drums, they just gravitate to it. You know? So God bless you if you have a set of drums in your house and you can tolerate that and your kid's trying to be a real good musician and they're playing drums. But they usually gravitate to it. And they begin to just beat on the thing. And so after service, a lot of times, I would hear this boom, 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 boom. I'm getting headaches, you know? I'm like, what is going on? And I would see a little kid beating on a drum. And I usually am the bad guy. I'll go up there and say, okay, let's not do that anymore. And I'll take the drumsticks away, and they start doing it with their hands, you know? And that's kind of what they do. But you know what? It is a noisy sound, you know? It's just so irritating. And the Apostle Paul says, even if you're speaking in a language that is sensational, supernatural, and you're hearing angelic sounds there, even if you're doing that, you are actually doing absolutely nothing. We're not many churches today are doing absolutely nothing. And we're not many people today who are God's people, born again, know Jesus Christ, are doing absolutely nothing. We're focusing on all these things, but you know what? Instead of saying, I am here to sacrificially and selflessly minister to you, they actually do nothing. They actually do nothing. The next thing we see is, without love, I profit nothing. This is interesting here. I mean, all those things that I do, all those things that I do for humanity means nothing. You know, there are these philanthropists. They go out there and they get billions of dollars. They do this, they do that. I'm doing nothing. You know, during Thanksgiving time, you got all these celebrities and especially sports stars. They'll go there. They'll go to the food banks. They'll go to the soup kitchens. And they're doing all these things, always followed by a camera. Are they doing nothing? What purpose? What meaning? Why are they doing these kind of things? How about those people that actually give away everything that they own? And without agape love, if they're not doing it out of sacrifices, they're not doing it out of selflessness, by the power of the Spirit of God, they are gaining nothing. Is that true? You know, sometimes we think, are Christians the only ones that can go out there and do ministry? Are Christians are the only one that can feed the hungry and minister to the poor and do those kind of things? How about Doctors Without Borders? It's a good group. How about UNICEF? How about all these other things that are going out there? According to the Word of God here, without love, without agape love, if you're not doing it by the power of the Spirit of God, and if you're not generating it because you're selfless and you're sacrificial in the Lord, you gain nothing, nothing at all. Now, that's really hard for us to understand. I think it's hard for people to see that. But you know what? If you look through time, if you look back, and you find some people that have done this and this and this, and next thing you know, their names are not even there anymore. No one cares. Nothing happens. Because nothing happens, the void of the power of the living God, unless the Spirit of God is doing something in and through you, and agape love is flowing through you, nothing happens. Nothing is gained. Some of you may be saying, well, it's sounding hard. Now, do I have agape love? How can I have agape love? I mean, do I need it? Do I care about it? Well, first of all, if you're born again, believe in Jesus Christ, you have the capacity to have that because it is the fruit of the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God lives in you, He can grow that part of who you are. Because the fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love, agape love. And so when you came to know Jesus Christ, suddenly things change in your life. Things that never mattered to you before suddenly matters. Things that were so important to you, well, they don't matter anymore. This is what happens when the Spirit of God comes into your life. But if you're a Christian right now, today, and you just want to know, do I have agape love? Then I would ask some questions that you can ask yourself. And I might step on some toes as I'm asking it. I'm not thinking about any particular person in general. If you have a lot of time and talent, but you don't use it for anything but yourself. You gain it for yourself. You use it for your own valuable purpose and benefits. Well, you know what? Maybe you don't have agape love in your life. Or you have a lot of finances and resources, and you don't give any of it. That's not to say, now remember, I'm not saying that Jesus taught, you know, when he encountered a rich young ruler, just give all your riches to the poor. That's not a principle of the Word of God. The word of God doesn't tell all rich people to give all your riches to the poor, because if that happened, I always say, then the poor will have to give it back to you because you're poor now. That's not it. But you must not allow that to become an idol in your life. You must not allow that to grip your heart. But if you do have a lot of riches, if you do have a lot of resources somewhere, maybe in your portfolio, in a bank somewhere, in your possessions, and you're not actively giving that away to those who are in need, then it's hard to say that you have agape love. How do you say, well, I love people? How can you say that when you have so much and so many people don't have much at all? One of the things that we used to do when we give to missions, in the mission conferences that we would have, we always say there are three categories of giving when you give to missions. The first is giving out of your abundance. That's what most people can do, most people do. In other words, I have extra. I have a bunch of money in the bank. I can just give it away a little bit more. You know, or you know what, I have a car, I'm thinking of getting another car, but I'm not going to do that, so I'm going to give extra. I'm going to stay with my old car, so maybe a few $1,000 extra I can give to the missions this year. That's just giving out of your abundance, because you have. The second area relates to agape, because it will be giving out of your sacrifices. And we would encourage people to say, hey, listen, you come before the Lord and see what God would have you do. To give to the ministries of missionaries and missions work all around this world. You want to give something to Samaritan Purse, you want to give something to a crew, you want to give something to InterVarsity, whatever it is. You give out of your sacrifice. You say, you know what? I really need this, but I'm going to sacrifice this. Because I care about those people. I care about that ministry. I care about what's going on out there. So that's what I would do. So, yeah, I have a pretty nice car. I'm going to sell that car. I'm going to get a junky car, much cheaper. And the profit I gain, the difference, I'm going to give that to mission. That's giving out of your sacrifice. Maybe I won't go on that vacation. I wanted to go to Europe, but I'm not going to go to Europe. That is still on my abundance, actually. But I'm not going to go vacation at all. I'm going to stay home and do something. That's giving out of your sacrificially. But there's a third category, it's even greater than that. And some missions group go on that. It's called faith giving. Faith giving is, I'm going to give something I don't even have. I can't even sacrifice it because I don't have it. So I'm going to trust the Lord to give me an extra $5,000 this year so that I can give to the missions. You say, well, that's stupid. That's crazy. I want to tell you something. It works. I've seen so many people who made that pledge. You say, I'm going to give an extra $5,000. And suddenly out of the blue, you know, God will give a $5,000 inheritance. There's something here and there, whatever it is that comes. Those are the ways. But in the middle of all that, if agape love is a part of this, then you see, giving sacrificially would be a part of that. When we give of ourselves sacrificially, selflessly, for someone else. That's agape love. And it comes only through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can do that. And you say, wow, is that what we need to do? Yeah. If you want to have agape love, if you want to go around saying, I love people, I love the world, I love the church, I love brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you are wanting to talk about that, make sure you understand which love you're talking about. I phileo somebody, I love somebody like a brother, yeah, that's fine. You know, I'll take you out to lunch sometime as a brother in the Lord. Okay, good. But if you're going to agape somebody, that person doesn't have to be your brother in the Lord. It doesn't have to be somebody in the church. It doesn't have to be somebody you like. It can literally be your enemy, for that matter. And that's why the Almighty God, you know, he taught us all kinds of things. When Jesus, he talked about the Good Samaritan. You remember that story? Where people just walked around this guy. He's a Samaritan. We don't care about him. We hate him. He has nothing to do with us. But because we agape that person, it doesn't matter whether he's a Samaritan. It doesn't matter whether he's, you know, part of my intimate family. I love this person like God loves me. And so I'm going to sacrifice and give to him. And that's how we gain. If we don't do it that way, we gain nothing. Nothing at all. I can imagine the Corinthians as they're reading this letter. They must be livid. They say, Paul, you don't even understand us at all. Don't you understand? We are a great church. We have everything. We have so many gifts. Look at the things that we do. We go out there and we bless this and that and that and that. And all the while, because they're selfish, they're doing it for themselves. And Paul says, you know what? You can do all those things. You can even have your body burned at the stake. But if you're not doing it because you love God and you love people, you're not doing it because you are sacrificing and selflessly doing it. If you're doing it for other reason, because of anger or boasting or whatever, you gain nothing. So he says. And then going back to verse 2, this really touched me. Because it's one thing to do something, it's another thing to possess something. But he says, without love, I am nothing. I am nothing. He's talking about who you are. I am nothing. Who wants to be a nothing? One of the things that people struggle with all day long, all people, young people especially, is who are they? What is the value of who you are? And this world teaches us not to value ourselves at all, not to value who we are, because everything we learn, all the philosophies of this world, even the evolutionary theory and thing, it tells us we're nothing, we're worthless, we're not any better than a monkey or a dolphin or a fish, whatever, because why would you be? We need to know who we are, because God made us. And all the philosophers throughout these thousands of years have tried to do so. I love this one, you know. Sometimes we don't even know who we are. Are we even alive? Are we a figment of our imagination? Somebody says, I dreamed last night that I was a butterfly. Maybe I was a butterfly. I'm dreaming that I'm a man today. You know, you don't know what you are. Philosopher gets a little convoluted, right? But René Descartes, a French philosopher, he had this phrase in Latin, cogito ergo sum. I love that one. I think, therefore I am. He came down to a conclusion. I don't even know if I exist. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I am. But because I think, therefore I must be. That's it. That's his foundation to live life. I think, therefore I am. I want you to know something. You are more than that. God has made you. God has created you. God has called you to be something special. You are so valuable that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary for you. And God has designed you inside so that all the things you are, all the things that you can do, all the things that you will experience, he knows all about it. You are that precious. But then he says, if you go through your whole life and you do not have agape love, you are nothing. You are nothing. Can you imagine living your life 70, 80, 90, 100 years of your life and you are nothing? There is nothing that matters. I read this and I read it again. I went back to read it again and I'm like, I'm studying chapter 13. I'm like, oh, forget about all those passages on 1 Corinthians 13 that I did in weddings, you know. Favorite passage to use for bride and groom. Look at that. If I don't have agape love, I am nothing. Everything about my life, from the day I was born to the day I die, is nothing. It's nothing. 7 billion people living today, if they don't have agape love in their lives, they're nothing. You want to talk about meaning in life? You want something to matter in your life? First of all, you need to know Jesus Christ. Because otherwise, there's no possibility. But once you become a Christian, still, do you want your life to matter? Do you want your life to amount to something? Do you want your life to be so meaningful as God has designed it to be? Well, then agape love is so important to have. You and I have to begin to think about, Lord God, Spirit of God, how can I grow agape in my life? How in the world can I live in such a way that I am selfless, I am sacrificial, I'm ministering to others by the power of the Spirit of God, that the agape love will be so important to me so that I don't end up my life being nothing. I want to tell you, the last thing I want to be is a nothing. Not because I want to be something because I'm proud, not because I want something because I want people to say anything about me, but because I want my life to mean something. I want my life to have something. I want my life to exist for some reason. I remember reading a story about this missionary. barely at the end of her teenage life. And she wanted to go to Sudan. Not too many people want to go to Sudan even today. I know some today, some missionaries, awesome missionaries, that are going there. It's a tough place. But at the turn of last century, every missionary that went to Sudan died less than a year. Everyone. So she wanted to go to Sudan. And her parents begged her not to go. Because they know the statistics, they know the situation. They knew that she is probably going to die. They begged her, wouldn't you, as parents? But she said, no, God wants me to go there. I want to give my life to the Lord and minister for his name's sake. I want to give my life to the Sudanese there who don't know Jesus Christ. I want to go there. So she did everything possible to get herself going there, and finally she went. She wanted her life to mean something. And so she did. And within a year, she died. Oh, it isn't like, I'm not going to die. Oh, God's going to make it different for me. Oh, no. That wasn't her thought. Her thought was, I wanted my life to mean something. I want my life to minister to people that God has called me to. I want my life to be lived out in an agape love way, sacrificial, selfless, and she did. And who knows what accomplishment in heaven, in eternity, because she went. That's agape love. That's agape love. Agape love is not emotional. It's not a feeling oriented. It's not directed to just some people. Agape love is, my life is the Lord's. The Spirit of God is in control of my life. I want to sacrificially and selflessly give of myself, my resources, my abilities, whatever it is I have, I want to give that for others. Because Jesus did it for me. That's agape love. You want to know the meaning of life? It all revolves around agape love. Next week, we're going to talk more about it. I'm going to talk very specifically about some of the things that Paul says. And I want to tell you at the end, I hope you'll feel as I do, that we need to pursue that. It isn't just there, you know. It's not just suddenly God just throws it around us. We have the capacity. The Spirit of the living God is in us. So we have the capacity, but we have to pursue it. And he tells us to do so. I want to tell you, a world full of people who love Jesus Christ and are determined to exercise agape love, that world will be turned upside down. And that's what God has called us to do. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you to thank you. Thank you for the capacity to be able to live out that love, to selflessly and sacrificially minister in this world in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit of God to love people. To love people into the kingdom of God. Lord, I want to thank you for all those that have done so, that are doing it even today. Thank you for our missionaries. Thank you for the Barbaras. Thank you for people like them. Oh, Father, would you make our church even more like this? Would you make our people you have brought to our church, even more full of this love? The world can't stop this. They never have. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for the privilege.